Well, I ain't going to say we're going to be brief because we never are, but be more of a devotion. A devotion I shared with young people in the classic conversations group here a couple weeks ago. And I thought I liked it, and I thought I would share it. Not the same, but the same principle, the same thought. With our young people here at the church tonight, we're getting ready to start a new school year. Amen. A new beginning. And that's what this is, a new beginning. Turn in your Bibles with us into Genesis chapter number 8. Genesis chapter number 8. Thankful for each one of you that's come out this evening, and trust you've come seeking something from the Lord. And I hope he speaks to your heart tonight. And this isn't just for young people. This is for all of us. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, Christians and co-laborers in Christ. Amen. I'm glad we serve a God that's a God of new beginnings. Amen. He takes the old things, he makes them new. The old man dies and we become a new creature in Christ. The Bible's a story of restoration. And we can see from Genesis to Revelation God's desire for restoration. He wants the restoration of his relationship with him and mankind. And he desires that when he destroyed the world, he spared Noah and his family, because he wanted to have a relationship with man. It's a picture and it's a type, I know, but it's because of a restoration. We read through the Bible and we see time and time again the story of restoration. We see Jacob and Esau as they've been separated for a long period of time. And they left and they parted ways in unfavorable circumstances. But yet when the time come for reunion to take place, that was all forgotten. We see how David had sinned and God had sent Nathan to remind him of his sin. And to allow him to know that he was the one who sinned. And we see David's desire for restoration in Psalm 51. As he prayed his prayer, asking God to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. We see all through the Bible that God's desire for his people was to know restoration when Israel had strayed. As we preached this morning, God says, what more could I do? What more could have been done? I wanted to prosper you. I wanted to restore you. And the story of Noah here in Genesis chapter 8 is a picture of God's desire for restoration. For a new beginning, for starting over. We'll begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible says, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Yet I will again, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Brother Ron Brooks, would you take us to the throne of grace? Have witnessed the rejection of God's deliverance. They've witnessed the complete and utter destruction of the world as it was known in the Antediluvian time. They have witnessed what it is to be isolated and alone. No other human beings beside them. No other creatures from all the whole world beside what was on the ark with them. And yet they had witnessed God's provision and God's providing for them. They were on the ark, shut up in this boat on the ark for roughly a year. Some say 364 days, some 370 days, but it was roughly a year's time. They had been shut up in the ark. Now, I've spent some time on a ship, as has Brother Jim and Sister Sherry. And after, a week or two at sea, I'm ready to see some land. I'm ready to see terra firma, set my feet upon it. If I can't sit on it, I at least want to see it on the horizon. I know what it's like, but can you imagine total isolation, totally being separated, but totally and completely knowing that you've been delivered by God? And then the floods and the water begins to subside, and the land begins to appear, and the ark comes to rest on Mount Ararat there. And now Noah and his family have been given a very precious gift. It's the gift of a new beginning. They're the ones who are going to start everything, kickstart the world back as it was before the flood. They're the ones who've been tasked with the responsibility of repopulating, as you read there, we're in verse 17, that they may be fruitful and multiply and repopulating the world. And there was no one else that was able to do what God had tasked them to do. There was no one else left. No one else that could accomplish what God had in mind and had in store for them. There was eight individuals who were saved in that ark. And each one of them had a purpose. Each one of them had a task to fulfill. And as they came off the ark, we notice and we see down in verse number 20 that the first order of business in this new beginning was to worship God. Noah built an ark, and he offered sacrifices unto the Lord. And God was so moved by what Noah had did that it touched his heart. It says in verse 21, and he swore that he would never destroy the world like he had did before. And God goes on down into chapter 9 to tell Noah that he's established a covenant with them, and that his bow, the rainbow that we see in the sky, is the token of his covenant that has been given, that he would never destroy the world like he's done. Don't you thank God tonight for new beginnings? Amen. Don't you thank God tonight that even though our lives have been wrecked by sin, God will save us and give us a new beginning? Aren't you glad that when, as a child of God, you sin before God, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you feel like you've got a new beginning? It's been said that no one can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. I say to you, on the authority of God's word, that we have the opportunity for new beginnings. Amen. And young people, a new school year starting. Some of you are going to college. Some of you are still in grade school and middle school and high school. You got the opportunity again to start afresh, a new beginning. God has given each one of us the gift of new beginnings. The problem is, so many times in new beginnings we set goals that we quickly forget about. At the new year, the beginning of a new year, everybody makes all their New Year's resolutions. And in a few short days, a few weeks, those resolutions are soon forgotten. I remember going to school, and every year I purposed in my heart, well, I'm going to do better this year. I'm going to do better this year. And I did just as lousy as I did the year before. Amen. But you have the opportunity for a new beginning. Moms and dads are struggling with the cares of life and going through life. Aren't you glad that every day that you wake up, you have an opportunity for a new beginning? Amen. Amen. Christians purpose in their heart and in their life that they're going to draw closer to God, and we're going to serve God with a great fervor and a great devotion. And we wake up every morning and we're thankful for the opportunity for a new beginning. But sadly, most times and many times by the end of the day, we find out that we have fallen short of what we had purposed to do. But don't lose heart, because tomorrow we have the promise of a new beginning. Amen. We had the promise, and I'm not preaching to you mediocrity. I'm not preaching to you to give up, but I'm telling you that every day we have the opportunity. Every moment we have the opportunity to purpose in our hearts and our lives for new beginnings. Married couples, they struggle in their marriages, and the devil likes nothing more than to be able to get into a relationship and destroy it. But thank God, he's got a prescription, amen, for a new beginning. We see relationships that are struggling because of problems, and what they need is a restart. They need a new beginning, amen. We see that as Noah and his family come off the ark and they were tasked with repopulating the earth, man and beast. And God said to be fruitful and to multiply. He's given each one of us a responsibility every day. Amen. To be fruitful. Amen. Young people, as you go to school, your job's to be good students. Amen. Good college students. Good high school students. Good middle school students. Good elementary students. Moms and dads, your job is to be good parents, good godly parents. Amen? Bringing your children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's your responsibility. That's what God has tasked you with. And what God has tasked you to do, there's no one else that can do it for you. Amen? No one else can learn what needs to be learned for you. You have to learn it yourself. Amen? No one else can be the parent to your children that you should be. Although many times, and we've witnessed it in our own church and our own church families, people have to come in and be a surrogate. And they love and they care. But God has tasked you with the responsibility of being a parent to these children. And you will not be held unexcusable. Amen? For slacking in your duty as a parent. God will hold you responsible for that, because he's instructed us as parents. Amen. How to raise our children and what we are to do. But thank God you have the opportunity every morning to become a better parent than you were the day before. You have an opportunity every day to draw your children closer to God than you did yesterday. You have the opportunity to start a new beginning and realize that what you've been doing isn't right, isn't working, isn't according to God's word. And you ever hear when they are going to start a new radio station or something and they run the needle across the record and it goes, yeah. Sometimes we just need to do that with our lives. Young people don't know what records are, do you? Amen. They still use that analogy on radio programs and then commercials. And what it's a picture of is starting over, being what God intends for you to be. Christian, you might not have been the Christian today that you know that God wants you to be, but thank God for new beginnings. And tomorrow you can be what God wants you to be. You can be the witness he wants you to be. You can be the strength that he wants you to be. As we start our new beginnings, whether it's a new beginning of a new school year, whether it's a new beginning of a new job, a new beginning of a new work day, whatever it might be, we need to take Noah's example to heart. For the first thing Noah did in the new beginning was worship God. Amen. You know, if every day we get up and we'd spend time worshiping God before we'd done everything else, it would improve our day. It would change our day. It would change our perception of the day. You know why? When we worship God, we're praising him. Psalms 22:3 says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Man, you want to get in touch with God first thing in the morning, start worship. Take a little bit of time to worship him. It doesn't say you have to have an hour of worship service. It only takes a few moments to uplift God, give him glory, honor, and praise for the day that he's given you. God's given each one of us a promise. Just like he gave Noah a promise, a covenant, that he would never destroy the world like he did again. The same way. And he put his rainbow in the sky as a token of his covenant, as a symbol of what he had said. But God has given us the promises in his word that he'd never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's given us the promise in his word that he would carry the burdens that we have for us, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He's told us that we don't have to go through this alone. He says, take my yoke upon you, because my burden's easy, my load is light. He wants you to know that in every new beginning, you're not there alone, but he's right there with you. Noah didn't have to start over alone, because God was right there with him. God had given a symbol, a token of his covenant. We don't have to go through it alone if we know Christ is our Savior. He's given us the seal of his Spirit in our heart. Amen? A token. You know what Paul calls it? He calls it the earnest of the Spirit. You know what earnest is? When you're going to buy something and you put down a down payment on it, that means you're earnest about it. You're coming back. Amen. You're coming back. He's given us the earnest of his Spirit until he takes us from this world to the glory world. He's given you that token of his covenant, of his presence. You can go to school, and I don't care what's happening in school. If you got Jesus in your heart, you got all that you need. I don't care what the people say in college and the universities and what the teachers try to tell you. When you got Jesus in your heart, you know what's right. You know what's better. I don't care about all the bullying, and I don't know, you know, sometimes I think we're taking away the ability for young people to learn to function in a real world. I mean, bullying has always been there. And I got news for you. Bullying don't stop. Amen. Bullying don't stop just because you get out of school and you're grown up. There's always going to be somebody around that wants to frustrate you and aggravate you and tease you. And you need to learn that through God's word, you can cope with any problem. We see kids that are killing themselves because somebody just said something about them, because they haven't learned to cope. But young people, let me tell you what, it doesn't matter what people say about you. Amen. What matters is what the Lord thinks about you. Amen. And if you live your life pleasing to the Lord, if you live your life worrying about what God wants in your life, you've got the most important thing settled in your heart. Jesus told Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. When you choose Jesus, you've chosen the better part. Our kids are getting ready to go back to school. And I want all our kids to come up here and get gathering as close as you can around this table. All our students, college students, school students, elementary school students. I don't care if you're a student. I don't care if you're 40 years old and you're still going to college and you're a student. Get in close, right up in the middle. Up close, in the middle. All of you, kindergarten, pre-K. Amen. Get in tight. All young people, in tight. You need to get in tight. In tight. Oh, you're not tight enough. You don't know it. You don't know what's about to happen. All young people, take two steps forward. All right. We're going to do this here a little differently. From Gracie down. Come here. Come on. Oh, Gracie. Right here, right here. Let's see, Gracie, how many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right there. Right there. Right there. Right there.
Right here.
Right here. Joe, come down here on the end. Holly, squeeze over here in front of Josh a little bit. There you go. Come down here in front. Well, Alyssa, you step forward. Yeah. Now, I want all the adults that will to come up here with me and let these kids know that not only do they have a hedge of protection from the Lord around them, but they got a hedge about them from their church that's going to be praying for them. Our kids face more today in this world than we ever faced. I want to circle all the way around them. Gather hands. Join hands. Just completely encircle them. We might have to stretch up to the pulpit. Let's go up to the platform. Get all the way around them. Amen. Let's get an unbroken circle, every hand that can gather. Amen. Amen. I want each one of you to pray out loud for these folks that are going, our young people going back to school. Pray for their parents, but just pray for God's guidance, his protection, his care upon them as they start this new school year. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we do thank you, Lord, for our young people, Lord, and for each one of these ones, Lord, that are going back into the school year. Lord, we realize and know that the environment into which they're going is not always one that we're happy with, not always one that we can be confident and satisfied in. But Lord, we know it's the environment, Lord, in which they live. And we know just like every Christian and every one of us, Father, we're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And Lord, we just pray for these young people, God, and you just help them, Father, to realize as we preach this morning, that they're different than the world. They're different than those that'll be looking upon them. And God, that their lives would stand out an exemplary example, Father, of what you've done and what you can do in an individual's life. Help them, Lord, to be kept in safety, Father, from the dangers that face them in the world in which we live today, Father. We know drugs are prolific. We know violence, Lord, is always nearby, Father. We know there's nuts, Lord, and and crazy people who are abducting children, Father, any opportunity and every chance they get. But God, we just pray that you'd put a hedge about them, Lord, and you'd keep them in your safety. You'd keep them in your care, Lord, and you keep them where you need them to be. Father, we pray, God, that you would just take their minds, Lord, and help them, Father, to learn to just differentiate between what is truth and what's error, Lord, what is according to your word and what stands contrary to your word. And Lord, help us as a church to teach them. Help them as our parents and grandparents and their church family, Lord, to mentor them. And Lord, to show them the things, God, that are pleasing unto you. Now, Lord, we just leave them in your care, realizing no greater thing that we can do, Lord, tonight than to ask that thy will be done. In everything, we praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. Amen. You need to go get some Purell, and you need to go get some Purell.